You know how important it is to ensure that your supplements are genuine, safe, and effective. That's why I partnered with Fullscript, an online dispensing platform that only offers curated professional-grade brands I know and trust, the very same supplements that I prescribe to my patients and take myself. Never counterfeit or expired, always stored and shipped correctly. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to start your free Fullscript account. Buying through Fullscript offers fast shipping, optional refill reminders, a mobile-friendly site. It's safe, secure, and HIPAA-compliant and offers world-class support. Fullscript also gives you access to my custom-targeted supplement protocols that combine the products that I recommend to address specific needs, heart health, immune support, and much more. Just go to DearHoffmanStore.com to sign up for your free Fullscript account. You'll get access to the supplements and features you need to help you achieve your wellness goals. That's DearHoffmanStore.com. DearHoffmanStore.com. Welcome back to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And today we're talking about a supplement that I'm pretty excited about. It's Urolithin A, brand name MitoPure, made by a company called Timeline. Timeline.com is the place to get it. And I'm taking it. I'm excited about it. Jen Scheinman, who's a registered dietitian nutritionist. I don't believe that it is a one-size-fits-all product for mitochondrial support. We've advertised several products for mitochondrial support because I think it's a really important category. And it's not like, well, this is the best one, that one's, you know, this one supersedes all the others. A couple that I like are nicotinamide riboside. Some people prefer nicotinamide mononucleotide. And I also like NT-Factor, and NT-Factor is a phospholipid supplement that works on cellular membranes, but also works on the mitochondrial membranes, because after all, the mitochondria have membranes as well, and deterioration of the membranes impairs mitochondrial function. There are many nutrients that support mitochondrial function, the B vitamins, magnesium. These are all important. Of course, coenzyme Q10 or ubiquinol play a role there. I'm for an all of the above approach. There's also some interesting research on something called PQQ, which is, I can't pronounce the full name anymore, but you know, but these are some of the major players that if you want to support your mitochondria and really address it comprehensively in an anti-aging and overall optimization program, you may want to keep these in your supplement portfolio. So, so do you agree? I mean, it is compatible with these other things. It doesn't render these other things superfluous. Am I correct?
I would totally agree with that statement. So I like to think of mitochondrial support, and I think we kind of touched on this in part one, is there's sort of different ways to support your mitochondria, mm-hmm. right? PQQ and these NAD precursors like NR and NMN. They can help with the biogenesis, so the creation of new mitochondria. And then the B vitamins, CoQ10, magnesium, those all either help protect the mitochondria or make the mitochondria run more efficiently. And then at the end of the day, as those mitochondria start to become dysfunctional, Urolithin A or MitoPure can kind of come in and help recycle those mitochondria, break them down and build new ones. So I think you're thinking about it exactly as I think about it, is what are these different strategies? What are they doing for the mitochondria? And how can they kind of play nice together? Unfortunately, we don't have clinicals to demonstrate yet, you know, this in conjunction yep. is better than that in conjunction. But that's, I think, really where practitioners like yourself come into play and know, you know, how these elements, these molecules are supporting mitochondrial function and where they can kind of bolster and support each other. So, yeah, well, I take other things and do other things for my mitochondria besides just...
I'm conducting a science fair project of N of one on myself, yep. and, you know, hopefully it will yield good results, but I feel pretty good. So another aspect of this is that Timeline has actually diversified into skincare projects. I got a sample of one of these products, and I gave it to one of my family members, and I consider her really an aficionado of skincare products. She's tried everything under the sun, And she's pretty skeptical of a lot of them. And I say, here, try this. And I said, what do you think? She says, I really like this. I think it's really helping. And so, but what's the basis for believing that something that works internally can also work externally on the skin? And is there any evidence to believe that it really does work? Have they done any clinical studies?
Yeah, well, we do have clinical studies. And I think, you know, people who are, whether you're a skin aficionado or just sort of a you know, slightly aware, right? We know things that like retinols, those are vitamin A derivatives. So we know those work internally and topically. Vitamin C, yep. That's another huge one, right? That works internally and topically. So it's no different.
It makes sense,
think that, yeah, that urolithin A, while obviously very different mechanisms in action, you know, what we have studied is that, yes, when you apply it topically, the skin cells will absorb the urolithin A and the effect stays, it's very potent and very localized into the skin. And so just like your muscles, just like your brain, just like your immune cells, your skin cells have mitochondria. And those start to decline as we get older. And that means we start to see less collagen production. And that's, you know, part of what's contributing to fine lines and wrinkles and changing our skin. But the other thing that is really interesting on the clinicals that have been done with topical urolithin A is the number one thing that actually ages skin is not this internal factor, the declining mitochondrial function. It's actually the sun and the environmental damage.
Right.
Really accounts for 80% of aging. And so one of the clinicals that was done with topical urolithin A was we actually put a placebo cream and the urolithin A cream on skin and we exposed it to UV light, so the damaging mm-hmm. light that comes from the sun. And what we found was that the skin that was treated with the urolithin A, it was much more resilient to the damaging mm-hmm. effects of the sun. So mm-hmm. all the redness and the inflammation and the swelling that happens after your skin is exposed to sun, that all resolved much more quickly. So what we're finding is that urolithin A works both on these external factors of aging and the internal factors of aging as well. So it really is sort of a potent, you know, sort of tag team on kind of all the hallmarks of aging of what's impacting skin aging.
Is there evidence that it protects the collagen or affects collagen degradation or elasticity or anything along those lines?
So when we did skin biopsies after the topical was applied, and what we find is that the genes that turn on collagen production and organization, all of those genes are upregulated.
Okay.
So yep. So we're having more collagen production.
Okay.
And then what we're visibly seeing
right.
is, and the thing that's so interesting about skin is that it seems like the impact is so much quicker than when you're taking the oral
yeah.
supplement. So with the oral supplement, it takes about 4 weeks. When we do muscle biopsies to start seeing that bios or that mitophagy really kind of kick into action in the skin, we're seeing that in like 72 hours and the visible signs of aging in just 2 weeks, people are noticing a difference.
So that's interesting. And I guess it kind of makes sense mechanistically because collagen production is an energy dependent process. Mm-hmm. And if collagen production is impaired by whatever cellular garbage or, you know, inefficient mitochondria, then the repair function slows. And so this makes the repair function more efficient.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting way to look at it for sure, is being able, you know, the when you have the genes that are basically signaling create more collagen and those are all turned up, you are going to have more collagen that's being produced. And then when you also have sort of all the damaging effect that's happening from these external UV light and, when that is all being resolved much more quicker, you basically have a more useful acting skin cell. I think that's sort of the way to think about it, is that you're taking an older skin cell and making it behave in a way that is like a younger skin cell.
So research on this generally follows this type of pathway. The company that promotes it initially wants to do the research. And then the results are positive. And pretty soon, researchers from all over the world say, can I get a hold of some of this? Because I want to run a trial on this or that or the other thing. They just come up with new ideas about how it might be applied. Is urolithin A at that phase of development where researchers are clamoring for it in research laboratories around the world to say, hey, I want to try this out. I mean, I got this weird theory that it could help this or that or the other thing since it's helpful in these other cases.
Absolutely. So, you know, so in skin particularly, L'Oreal, actually, which is sort of the biggest skincare brand.
Yeah.
They have given us a sizable investment, and they're doing a ton of research on urolithin A in skin, and they've been really, really excited about that. But then outside of that, I mean, there are top, you know, research institutions around the world that are looking at the potential benefit from this. So we have the Buck Institute that's been very interested in it, in brain aging. And actually, the Buck Institute played a role in immune aging study. In terms of, so where I feel we are with urolithin A is there's a lot of great preclinical data that's out, ranging everywhere from joint
health. So let's define that, you know, preclinical versus
clinical.
Yes. So preclinical is either in the test tube, you know, you put cells in the test tube, you treat them with urolithin, you see, you know, are they protected or are they more efficient? Or even in an animal model, like in worms, well, worms live 45% longer. I'm not sure that we can create people who live to be 145 with urolithin A, because you have to translate from animal to human research. And then, of course, there's rodents and you know, maybe primates. And then that's preclinical. And then we jump to human trials. So the human trials are much more expensive, harder to do, you know, have to be done with all kinds of ethical approval and so on. So where are we at? We actually have some trials that are promising looking at immunity, right?
So we have, so we've got, we have now demonstrated mitophagy happens in three different tissue types with urolithin A. So we've now proven that we see that using muscle biopsies. We've seen it in the skin, and we just finished a study that was in conjunction with the Buck Institute of Aging and the Frankfurt Cancer Institute.
Well, that's really big, the Buck Institute of Aging, because you got their attention. Are they going to do one of those rat studies to see if rats live longer on urolithin A? Because they've done that with rapamycin, they've done that with astaxanthin, they've done that with certain compounds. Some pan out and some don't.
I don't know if they're planning on doing that. I know they're very interested in urolithin A in terms of, you know, brain health seems to be a big area.
Brain health is a big thing, yeah.
But I wouldn't be surprised if they were working on that. That's just not something that I'm aware of. And then the Frankfurt Cancer Institute is also like a top tier research center for oncology medicine. So the two of those in conjunction, I think, are, you know, that these both institutions wanted to look at urolithin A.
That brings up a question to you. Some people might ask, you know, is having a cancer, like recovering from cancer, a contraindication to taking urolithin A? Because, I mean, to strengthen mitochondria, I guess cancer cells have mitochondria. So could it be like, I mean, potentially a growth factor, God forbid, you know, in cancer? Is that a question that's being looked at? And do we have any definitive answers on it?
So the reason, that's a fantastic question. So the reason why this particular researcher, his name's Dr. Dominic Deng out of this Cancer Institute, he's done mouse models and test models. And what he's seen is an improvement in, you know, a couple things like tumor regression. So there's one study that was published in
mouse models. So tumor immunity is enhanced, hence the body's own ability suppress tumor growth.
Yeah. Exactly. And the thought process is that mitochondrial decline, because what happens is as we get older, our immune cells become exhausted. And
it's
that's
immunosenescence is the key word here. Yeah, right.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so if we can bolster the immune system, these, you know, scavengers of, you know, diseases and infections, but also cancer, they're, you know, they're stronger and hopefully, you know, and so that's sort of his thought is like, he wants to learn more is, you know, we've seen in healthy adults that we can bolster the immune system after 1 month of 1,000 milligrams of urolithin A. And what we've seen, you mentioned sort of inflammaging as well, all these inflammatory markers, those are all lowered. And we've seen not just that, you know, the immune cells are healthier, that their mitochondrial function is upregulated. So we look at fatty acid and amino acid oxidation and all of that's turned up and there's more healthier mitochondria in these immune cells. So he's really kind of excited to see where this goes next. But, you know, we can't say with any certainty, we haven't studied it in people who actively have cancer.
Right. But I think the signals are good on that. And people should not be daunted by that prospect.
No. Yeah. And in fact, the National Cancer Institute has a study going on right now looking at males who are already diagnosed with prostate cancer. And they're looking at, you know, seeing if it can kind of help with some of the inflammation that happens. So that's an ongoing trial with the National Cancer Institute. And then, you know, I think one of the things was, I don't know if we actually have a study on this coming up or just we've sort of been talking about, but people who have finished cancer treatment and they basically have their immune systems, you know, annihilated from chemo and radiation.
Post-cancer fatigue, you know, which is a very, very debilitating situation.
Exactly. There. And is, you know, using this, you know, after treatment, something that can kind of help bolster and get people back to feeling more like themselves after they've gone through cancer.
Yeah, because many of the treatments for cancer are actually destructive to the mitochondria. You know, chemotherapy can be pretty devastating to mitochondrial function overall. Exactly. So this is exciting. Great.
And it's also being studying, I mean, you know, when you really think of the link of things like mitochondrial decline and decline in mitophagy to all these different, you know, chronic conditions, you know, another area that I'm particularly interested in as well is just even like reproductive aging. Worm models that seem, you know, egg quality is highly dependent on mitochondrial health and the ovaries.
And sperm quality too, because the sperm have to swim mightily upstream. And there's this whole concept of you may have enough sperm, but the sperm motility is decreased. They're weak sperm.
Yep.
And this is becoming epidemic. I mean, it's been said that sperm is an endangered species in the modern world because of chemical exposure and, you know, poor diets, and, you know, perhaps even, you know, various things like alcohol exposure certainly debilitate sperm performance. So, yeah, I mean, this might be an adjunct to extending the window of fertility for women and men.
For help with IVF treatments or, you know, but exactly. There's such a broad spectrum of places where I think urolithin A can potentially come into play. And I think over the course of the next 5 years, a lot of this animal research and test tube research is going to hopefully be translated into human research so that we'll know, A, does it work? B, how much do you need to take? How long? You know, we'll start to have a lot more answers to these questions. But it's just such an interesting, fascinating molecule in the way that it works.
Exactly. Well, I'm placing my bets on urolithin A. And our discussion today has inspired me to maybe up the ante a little bit on my dosage. You know, I might make the investment to take a couple of packets per day, or maybe mix and match, take a couple of capsules along with the powder that I take and get up to the full requisite dose of 1,000. And then, you know, see if my time on my cycling splits improves or, you know, whether I can bench press 350 pounds after doing that.
Well, report back and let us know. And there is another study coming out soon. We just have lots and lots of research on looking at it in like athletic performance.
And by the way, this, you know, in the world of WADA, you know, World Anti-Doping Association, the Olympics are going on now. And I sometimes wonder, you know, how many of these athletes are covertly using various types of illegal stimulants and things like that. And I know they're tested all the time and they can be disqualified. And that's one of the reasons why the Russian team, you know, is not fared well in the Olympics in terms of disqualifications. It's WADA legal, urolithin A. So it is it's performance enhancing, but it's not, doesn't go under the category of a prohibited, ergogenic drug.
Correct. So it's NSF for sport is sort of, you know, a third-party certification that says, you know, first of all, that it's safe, it's a clean product. We're not putting any, you know, illicit substances in there or any illicit performance-enhancing drugs in there. And then also that what's in there is as advertised, right? There's no other, you know, contaminants or, you know, things like heavy metals or things you don't want in there. And we're also, we just got clean label certified as well. So...
Yeah.
Just really
so,
showing.
So you won't test positive for any illicit substance, but we're taking it.
And you also won't get things like lead poisoning or, any unwanted contaminants that happen. And, you know, a lot of supplements that people get are not always, you know, the testing and truth in labeling is is questionable on lots of supplements if you're not getting them from quality,
especially in the athletic realm. You know, sometimes athletes get disqualified because inadvertently they take something from a health food store, thinking that it's innocuous, and it's spiked. It actually has residues of illegal anabolic substances, and that can be a concern. So this is not a concern for athletes. Made any inroads into the sports world? You know, it sponsorships can be expensive. So you know, the New England Patriots were to start taking it, they would charge you a lot of money for the endorsement.
Well, I'm a Giants fan, so I'm gonna root for the Giants to start taking it. But we do have professional athletes that are taking it. We've got, you know, and the research will be coming out to really support the benefit on active individuals. So what it seems to do is really help with the inflammation that happens after exercising and really helps with their recovery. And that's actually one of the first things that I noticed is I don't really get sore anymore when I do a hard workout.
This is interesting because I'm not sure. See, you know, sometimes I comment like, for me, success is just maintaining it year after year. And like, I'm pretty much maintaining my performance. I mean, obviously I'm not as fast, but I'm able to do the workouts.
Yep.
But what I used to encounter is I'd work, and then I would have this downtime where I'm like, I'd have a malaise where for days and sometimes for, you know, as many as a few weeks, I would just really hit the skids and it'd be like, whoa, maybe I was courting OTS, overtraining syndrome, which is a well-known phenomenon among training athletes. And knock wood. I'm going to knock wood. I take a day off here and there because I'm like beat. And that really, you should do that from time to time. But those downtimes are relatively minimized. And you've noticed that too, right?
I've noticed that too. We hear that from our customers a ton. And the preliminary data we've gotten from this trial looks like recovery seems to be a big element for people that are really active. So hopefully that trial will be published soon too, and we'll really be able to dive into the data there. But that's kind of the story that seems to be out there is the inflammation. We get this natural inflammation after we do intense bouts of exercise, and it seems to help that recover much quicker.
So I won't be taking home any trophies from the Senior Olympics in anytime soon, but I'll be able to train consistently at least and maintain my level of fitness, which is, you know, and have fun because being able to take a beautiful bike ride in the country in the summertime is one of the joys of life, and you want to be able to continue doing that for as long as possible, or hike, or, you know, walk your dog to the mailbox.
Whatever it is.
Yeah. Great stuff. All right, well, I'm excited about it, and you know, I was really excited to meet you in person at the Institute for Functional Medicine Conference in Las Vegas. We had a nice chat at the Timeline booths. And I was pleased to make your acquaintance, and now we have a chance to share that with our audience. You know, once again, I'm endorsing this. I think this is great. The product is Urolithin A, brand name MitoPure. You get it from timeline.com. And so thank you very much, Jen Scheinman, for sharing all this important information with us and breaking it down for us in understandable fashion.
Anytime. Thanks for having me.
My great pleasure. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. And this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I want to thank you for listening to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon Music, or your favorite podcast app, and get new episodes automatically downloaded every weekday. And please give us a rating and review. It truly helps new people discover Intelligent Medicine. The Intelligent Medicine Podcast is for general informational purposes only and does not constitute the practice of medicine, nursing, or other professional healthcare services, including the giving of medical advice, and no doctor-patient relationship is formed. The use of information on this podcast or materials linked from this podcast is at the user's own risk. The content of this podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Users should not disregard or delay in obtaining medical advice for any medical condition they may have, and should seek the assistance of their healthcare professionals for any such conditions. Finally, please visit drhoffman.com and discover everything Intelligent Medicine has to offer, including frequently updated, unbiased health news and fully vetted product and supplement recommendations.